Then you have to spend so much time in sleep, and Mary tells us that you have to spend time and strength and money in providing things to eat and drink. How can you be patient with it all? Have you studied the earth enough to be able to sense or understand material things as compared with your spiritual objects? The reply seems to us to show that they do not fully understand, for they still refer to actions rather than to things. We try to understand. We try to move as slowly as your fastest travel and we grow impatient. We can have some sensation of taste, but we cannot understand how people would ever be willing to spend much time at it. We have tried our best to sleep, but we could not succeed, and can only guess how that is accomplished. You see, we are handicapped when we try to help earthborn persons when they first arrive here. Ghosts are the uneasy spirits who have left some earth duty undone, or some wrong unrighted, and they try to go back again. The spirit of one who has committed a crime, or who has wronged someone on earth, is never at rest until the wrong is made right. Let this be a lesson to evildoers. There are uneasy souls here who never have peace because they cannot undo the wrong. Criminals learn the lesson too late, and if reincarnation were true, they would gladly go into another earth life to profit by the lesson they have learned here. We wish we could make this plain to all evildoers. You say they never have peace. Do you mean that literally? We mean it in connection with mortal life. Of course, the one who has suffered comes here sooner or later, and then the opportunity arrives for righting the wrong. We have many here who are making a study of these wandering spirits, and it is found that they sometimes seem to be seeking lost treasure which to them is of transcendent importance. With the infinite number who have gone over, space must be well occupied. Not all space, for there is no limit to space. In the far, far distance, do the stars thin out or come to an end? I am told there is no end. All earthly vision ends, but not the universe. Do you comprehend infinity better than we do here? Many, many things are beyond our comprehension yet, but we grow toward the larger understanding by degrees. Would you have all knowledge at once? If all things opened out to you at once, what would you do throughout all eternity except to long for something new? No. Knowledge is always progressive, and the farther we go, the broader the outlook, the more we learn, the more infinite seems the knowledge beyond. The following quotations from our records indicate somewhat the interest that communication arouses on that side. Incidentally, the skeptic will have some difficulty, I think, in explaining how or why they originated in the subconscious mind of the psychic, which, of course, is where such critics would be inclined to place them. Without other introduction, the pencil began to write, "A visitor from another plane wishes to talk. He is interested in our work and wishes you to tell him some of the reasons why communication between the two worlds should continue." Is it new to him? Yes. He has never been brought into contact with it on his plane. He left no very strong ties on the earth plane, so he asks in all seriousness why there should be such communication. Have you not told him your reasons? Yes, but he wishes yours also. We think the principal reason is to furnish proofs of the reality of a future existence. That is of great importance, he admits. Another reason is to impress mortals that they are preparing their future life now and should be made aware of it. Yes, he admits that also. Did he have no fear of death? No, he had no fear, but he sees that it might be a sad thing if one anticipated either annihilation or the everlasting punishment that was a part of the old creed. We feel that there is a growing loss of faith in the truth of the Bible and therefore a loss of faith in a future life. Communication might supply material for renewing that faith. He never doubted the Bible and so never knew that such proof was necessary. We have so many foreigners who seem to have little faith in a future life, such as anarchists and others who denounce the Bible entirely, or others who have beliefs formed on the creeds prevalent in their own countries. Anything that would convince them would be of value. These are all arguments that he sees now, but he did not realize the need while there. He lived a moral life with sufficient belief in this life to be comfortably hopeful and fearless of the future, so that the black wall of an unknown eternity had never appeared to him. As he believed in the Bible and in the church, and was a worker in his church associations, he believed these sufficient for anyone. Therefore, he had no need for any knowledge beyond the teachings of the church. He wishes to know what the clergymen think of the subject. Unfortunately, many of them are opposed to such teaching. He has been here a long time and has not watched the overturning of old creeds. Neither did he realize the vast multitudes coming into your country from heathen lands or from lands where religion was largely a matter of form, ritual, and creed. Does he see the force of these arguments? Yes. He says he can see. And as you state your view, point, he begins to feel that the work is necessary and must go on. It is sometimes necessary to convince spirits on this side of the value of the work of communication. You no doubt remember that a clergyman here some time ago asked some of these same questions. This clergyman has now become very earnest in his desire to help, and he is often in this circle studying methods. We realize the value of all helpers in the work of spiritual teaching. There are all too few of these. Too many are looking for other things, writing through mediums, attempting materializations, and giving messages that neither inspire nor teach. Several months later, the following was received on the same subject: "Will you listen to one who wishes to talk to you? He is not an acquaintance, but wishes to know the sensation of talking to someone on earth again, for he has never communicated since he has been here, and that has been long. He wishes to know if you believe fear of death can be conquered by means of communication. We feel and believe that many would lose such fear if communication is absolutely proven. Would you not think so?" He hears through Mary and answers through her. He does not hear earth sounds yet, for he has had no experience. He is interested now for the first time. I have repeated to him what you have said. He says that such conversations must take away the fear of death, because in themselves they are a proof that there is no death. He asks now what you consider the moral value of such work. We fear that much, if not most, that comes across does harm, but possibly the little that is true does enough good to counterbalance. Mary does not endorse that, even knowing, as she does, the foolish and false things that are supposed to be messages. You hear more of these than of the quiet and spiritual help that is being asked for and received at all times. What do you think is the moral value, Mary? First of all, to energize the spirit life on earth. Second, to teach that life there is preparing the life here. In short, to vitalize all earth life with spiritual thought and perception. Does this visitor hear this? He listens, and thinks we may be right, but he is slow to receive new thought. Why has he not known of the work of communication? Heaven is immeasurable in space and infinite in its occupations and variety of interests. Not all care to commune with earth, many have never tried, even in the centuries they may have been here. He will ask one more question. Can sinners be saved and sin overcome by the union of heavenly and earthly influence? We think so. But, Mary, will you not answer that question also? Yes, and always yes, Mary says. But not under the present conditions of mediumship in general. There is too much self in both receiver and sender. There is too much desire for earthly benefits. All this must disappear, and the true longing for the heavenly life must appear in both sender and receiver. Then a power could be established which would turn souls away from selfishness and draw the world into the brotherly love we hear so much about. Still another personality appeared one evening with questions for us to answer. He proved to be an earnest student after information, but his first questions aroused our suspicions as to the sincerity of his inquiries. The whole interview was an entire surprise, and, like the previous quotations, should cause the skeptic to think long and carefully, if he is inclined to place their origin in the subconscious mind of the psychic. Sis took up the pencil with the intent to ask Mary some questions, but there was no wait for them. The pencil began at once. Will you take a message from one who wishes to communicate? Is it anyone I know? Will you try to listen to what he says? Is this Mary? Will you try to take his message? Who is writing? Are you anyone whom I know? Will you try to take his words? I want to know who is writing first. He is known here as a student of theosophy, and would like to tell you of his conclusions. I would like first to know just who you are. Will you be patient while he explains? Are you the ancient spirit that once tried to write? No, I am not the one whom Mary refused to allow. I am a student of many things and am very interested in the various beliefs of the future, for even here there is room for different beliefs and creeds. I am not convinced of the ways of Eastern philosophers, yet their reasoning is often eloquent and persuasive. What do you believe is the final condition, or the ultimate fate of the soul? We do not believe the Eastern philosophy, but rather that there is progression on that side as on this, and that the progress continues indefinitely. Will that theory be received by logicians, do you think? Will you tell me if many there believe in eternal progress? Will you tell me your reasons for believing it? That is what we have been taught from that side, and it appeals to our reason. Is it better than a state of heavenly calm and happiness, nirvana? Or better, even, than a return to earth to live out other and higher lives? But we are told that the soul does not return to earth. That is the opinion of many wise ones here. I am asking for the wisdom of the earth mind and desire only. Many here, of course, believe in reincarnation, but it seems so much more reasonable to us that progress goes on from there, rather than to come back into the sins and sorrows of this world to try to progress. It would seem to offer much more happiness to leave all earthly troubles behind forever. That is admirable, and looks like true happiness, but I wonder if it is the truth? Cannot you find out if it is the truth? I am interested in developing myself by study and by contact with the thoughts and beliefs of others. Then why do you not seek the highest teachers there? I shall sometime, and will apply myself closely. But at present I am trying to get at some consensus of earth opinion. If I were looking for higher things, trying to learn of finer conditions, I would not look backward to earth conditions. You do not quite understand me, I am sure, and perhaps it is not necessary. But if one should be a teacher of the progress of life on earth, would he not begin with the lower forms? Are you a teacher? I am trying to prepare myself for a teacher, and have a certain delight in the evolution of belief in the past, and the probable evolution of belief in the future. I still wonder that you do not try to get this from teachers there. Will you believe that I am not a foolish inquirer? I am truly working along the lines that I have described. The spirits here have evolved too far to be a beginning of such history, and I have wished to go back to the earth and start at the beginning. You are a long way from the beginning, but yet a link in the great chain of evidence. How I wish I could show you the infinitely subtle and varied changes from age to age, from soul to soul, each age leading a little higher in effort and belief, each age overcoming much of superstition and ignorance. Just now belief and faith on earth are being made so complex by the shadings of philosophy, psychology, and other new thought, that it is hard to move on or up in a straight line. But I tell you the study is fascinating, and so you will see it someday. You are looking for an abiding place for your faith. I am studying the different phases, or abiding places which have served for millions of years. I am not frivolous, I am interested, and preparing to help others on this side when I can. Well, it has seemed to us to be far more satisfactory to go on developing ourselves, our personality, our individuality, continuously on that side, rather than to strive for a state of calm, an eternity of perfection where one, as Mary had said, would have nothing to do but to contemplate one's own bliss. You have said it. To all of which I say, Amen. Then why are you a student of theosophy? Well, are you not interested sometimes in even heathen rites?
I am.
Yes, certainly, as a matter of history. Well then you can guess the interest I have in this study. What is your opinion of the final goal? We are not told definitely. Do you think there would be much interest in life if every step of the future could be seen? Would not life pull and become uninteresting? We are left much of the old adventurous spirit, we are constantly stimulated with the problems that appear before us. And because the earth people cannot understand, they cavil at the difference of opinion expressed on this side. They do not know that because of the freedom of thought and study on this side our lives are full of tremendous interest, to learn, to know, to choose the best and wisest. That is life. Was the demon of Socrates his spirit guide? His guide took the form of a spirit, and was near to protect him, but did not suggest any course of action. That was left to Socrates's own judgment. That is where the free will comes in. There are influences from here, but they are not strong enough to sweep human life into them. The spirit within each life is the deciding power as to which influence shall be received. Otherwise life would lose its power of choice, its free will, and its responsibility. There are influences constantly going out towards humanity from here. There are inspirations toward good, there are sinister suggestions toward evil, and it is the inherent choice of the individual that decides which shall rule his life. Just how much can you foretell? Not much. We can see circumstances and the probable results, and many are able to tell the future somewhat from them. But I do not think I am gifted in that way. Some people seem to have a gift of prophecy, yet it is a psychic gift, or possibly a keen intuition, that can foresee results from certain conditions. We are not creatures of fate. Set that down as a truth not to be denied. What the prophetic gift is, I do not know, but we are free to live our own lives. The future is not ours. Yet we listen with eager interest to our higher teachers who bring to us glad tidings and joyful outlook for the future. But whether this future is far away or nearby, is more than we can tell. We do not understand the prophetic gift any more than you do. We have thought it was the gift of far seeing from the surrounding circumstances. If there is something more than this, there is something more for us to discover. What do you know about the fourth dimension? The fourth dimension is as improbable here as there, mostly a problem for mathematical minds to puzzle over. Maybe I am mistaken, but I have never heard of it here, or seen any evidence. I suppose you do have three dimensions? 226, means page number in book. Will you give up your idea of our nothingness? We are good solid spirits. There now. The puzzles of this life are beyond those of the mortal thought. There are plenty of enigmas to solve here, you will find. Only that, when found, they are seen to be a truth so valuable that it is essential in some way to our life and happiness. What do physicians find to do there? Plenty and plenty. Those who come over mentally unbalanced, those needing kind and wise treatment to bring them out of sin or out of selfishness, and those who are projected into this world by accident or suicide or other sudden ways, all need spiritual physicians. The remedial agencies here are mental and spiritual instead of material, but physicians, if of the right stamp, soon learn to adapt their treatment to such cases. What happens to the mind that has been unbalanced here? We have many specialists who take charge of these. Many are the result of disease or old age, but those are easily cured. For spirit does not require any gray matter or brain cells for intelligence. Sometimes a snap in the brain or in the arteries, and they come to us very quickly. In such cases it is without knowledge that they have passed out of the body. That is a condition that has to be watched and cared for here, else they remain very long in the dream state and do not progress. I have watched many cases on earth but never knew what happened on this side until I came here. Physicians have work to do here, and their labor on earth, and their study of abnormal conditions there, help them here to heal the spirit that is beclouded by the physical, or, rather, the impressions made by the physical, while it had power over them. Spirit is very impressionable while on earth, and some of the impressions often remain for a time after they arrive here. Very early in our efforts with the Uwe aboard, a personality appeared one evening who moved the little tripod in a different manner from the others, and it spelled out, "I am not lovable, for I am old and homely. I am not lacking in intelligence, but I would never take a prize at a beauty show." After this whimsical introduction he continued slowly, "All aspirations are lofty according as they are constructive or destructive. Pate is only another name for organized purpose. Life purposes may be good or evil, but eternal purpose is always good. All good impulses are but the expression of latent purpose. All constructive actions there are a help against the forces of evil. Continue to study life's mysteries and you will accomplish all you wish for good. Death gives a new and broader field, makes life more livable. Life is continuous. Keep in a judicial mood, for life asks many decisions. All actions in the life there help to form the life here. Life and love create a need for continuance of existence. A yearning for immortality is implanted in every individual. These epigrams were quite a source of astonishment to us. They were given without other preface or explanation. But we were still more astonished later when one evening Uia spelled, D. The death of the body is the chance for life to have its fullest expression. Use happiness to further happiness. Hope for great things, and you will not get small things. The best actions are those that make for happiness of persons who have less happiness. Good only makes for good, evil makes only for disintegration. The happiest spirit is that which has always caused nothing but happiness. Have much charity for him who is trying to rise, though he may at times slip. Use much care in thinking, and the actions will not so often be in vain. At another time we asked for more such thoughts to open a new record book. D at first said she could not give any, but we insisted, and after quite a wait she spelled, make no rays of light to pass through darkness unless they are tempered to the A's that dwell in darkness. Hate so robs reason that the mind renders worthless judgments. Gentle thoughts often create strong ideas in the thinker's mind. Happiness is only soul contentment. Give no cause for sorrow and you will have no cause for sorrow. Gestures and words sometimes tell things that the mind does not voice. With an opportunity for knowledge, a fool only will say : I hasten away. The board ceased its motion for a time and as it started again we could almost hear Dee draw a long breath, as she said, that is enough for this warm evening. Try some yourself. Nearly 2 years later I was talking about these epigrams and was wondering how Dee came to give them. Sis was sitting with pencil in hand, so she asked if Dee heard what I said. Dee is here, I heard you talking about my wisdom of earlier days. Tell him it was not my wisdom at all. I was studying with a wise teacher, studying the philosophy of life, and some of his sentences impressed me so much, I repeated them to you. We took them almost letter perfect, did we not? Yes, I am sure you did. 28. A spirit testimony. Scores of people, mostly old friends and acquaintances of Sis, have at different times been brought to us and introduced in various ways. The following quotation from our records includes a very interesting message from one of these friends. The writing commenced one evening without any previous indication of the identity of the personality. Will you listen to someone who wishes to talk to you? Is it someone whom I know? Will you take a message and judge for yourself? He is a friend of olden time and wishes to look back upon the earth life as it was when he left it many years ago. He was not in your hometown as a resident, but often came there, and knew you in your home before your mother moved to the last house she lived in. Up to this point Sis was wholly in the dark as to the personality behind the pencil, but in a flash she saw the possibility of a test, not a resident, but often came there, and knew you in your home before your mother moved to the last house she lived in. That change of residence had occurred many years ago. With a sensation of great incredulity she waited for the information which would prove these three statements either true or untrue. The very next sentence confirmed them all. He says he used to play the violin with your piano accompaniment. Why, she exclaimed, you must be Mr. S. Mr. S. was a violinist who frequently came to the town on business, and he had acquired the habit of bringing his violin with him. He at once replied, yes, it is I. I have thought of you often, and have wished to find you, but never knew how until I chanced upon this circle. Mary was talking with you, and I listened as to a stranger at first, but when your questions came across they sounded like some you used to propound to me that I couldn't answer. In curiosity I asked who was talking and learned it was you. California is a long way from S, but not so long as the step into the dark that I took from earth life to this. You are so musical when here, you must be interested in it there. You know how I loved it, but when I came over I was so dazed that for a long time even music left me. I had never thought seriously of this life, I feared the change and tried to put it out of my mind. I came rather suddenly, a sudden cold, pneumonia, a brief illness, and I was here. Will you try to conceive what it was to come without a moment's real preparation or any true idea of this life? Will you try to conceive the dense and unnecessary ignorance and fear? That is the tragedy of it all. Fear is so unnecessary and the change is so beautiful, If only one could hold the true spiritual thought and life there. I do not mean preaching and praying necessarily, but just a generous loving life of trying to help one's fellow men and cultivating a belief in a larger and better life here. I did not have any warning particularly, it was all so sudden, and my mind was bewildered until unconsciousness came. Then I seemed to myself to be dreaming a beautiful dream, and in this dream selfish thought and purpose seemed to drift away and a new soul seemed to be born. That was when I really was here, without my knowing that I had passed across the great divide. After a time my dream seemed to change into a reality, and I was semi-conscious of friendliness and care surrounding me, and then, after a little, I awoke to full consciousness, and found that I had died, as they say there comma but as I say, found that I lived for the first time. My first sensation, perhaps, was the feeling of utter and delightful freedom and lightness of the body. This brought the sense of supreme happiness. Will you know that as much as I loved music it did not come at first, I had to go through the preparation for spiritual hearing and other spirit senses. It is all strange and all wonderful, and to me all beautiful and natural, though a few earth-born souls are rebellious and unhappy at first over the loss of their mortal senses and occupations. After a while I began to hear sounds, and music, soft and gentle at first, seemed to pervade the air. Then I knew that someday I could be what I always longed to be on earth, a musician. I am in the music circle here, and love it more than I did on earth, and you know how much that means. I suppose you do not play a violin there? There are no violins proper, but the effects are enhanced here in other ways until one does not miss the particular instrument. I do not know that I can describe the instruments or their tones, but compare them to the grandest or the sweetest or the most compelling music you have ever heard, and then multiply the impression a hundredfold, and you may get a faint idea of the heavenly music. Will you answer me one question? What are your thoughts concerning this life? Has not Mary told you of our conversations? Yes, they tell me of the long talks you have had with them, but I wish I could give you a realization of life here, for that is what I so needed when on earth. It would be a great balance to any life, and particularly to one of a nervous, sensitive temperament. Can you tell how long you have been there? No, we do not count time in the old way, but live in the present. It is always the present, for the future is so secure and safe that we have no fear. Do you realize how much fear was a part of our existence there? Loss of health, of friends, money, position, even life itself, haunted us even while we were outwardly happy and cheerful. That was my experience, at all events. What can I tell you of this life to add to your pleasure in looking forward to it? I have been told that spirit sound can be heard at long distances. If there is so much music, how do you shut it out when you wish other sounds, or wish for silence? Heaven is not all sound. There are great spaces of silence, where sound cannot disturb the other occupations. Therefore the circles of music are located in such ways as never to disturb. This is not always by distance, there are ways of preventing sound from annoying or hindering other occupations. Then, too, one can make himself immune to sound in a great measure. Mind is both the revealer and the secreter, if I may use that word. Nothing is forced upon anyone's attention. Some difficulty was experienced in getting through another sentence and Sis asked, "Am I doing this myself?" "No. You are trying to help me out in a difficult explanation. Conditions are so different here, it is hard to explain satisfactorily anyhow. You will listen to music when you wish and you need not be disturbed by it when you are occupied in other ways. You were rather grave and serious as I remember you. You are right in saying that I was not easily moved to laughter. I was habitually grave, and often melancholy. The future was my haunting specter, ill health, poverty, loneliness, and death haunted my vision of the future, and I had no assurance of anything better. For, while I had a vague feeling that the broken hopes, the disappointments of earth, might find some compensation after that life was over, I could not actually believe or see how such compensation could come. The light that never was on land or sea came to me only after the sleep that men call death. Can you realize how I live in the blessed present, knowing that neither illness nor loss can cloud my future? 29. A message. A number of times we have presented some of the results of our writing before a group of friends who were interested in what we were doing. At these meetings, one or both of us gave a talk or lecture which was followed by remarks and discussion by the audience.